Legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 11 members present this morning. Senators Adams, Spinklin, and Strzelewski are excused from the call of the Senate. Senator Fakes is excused but present.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Pastor John Campbell, Alderdate Methodist Church.
Let us pray. O great and kind spirit, you have always been, and before you nothing has been. There was no one to pray to but you. The star nations all over the heavens are yours, and yours are the grasses of the earth. You are older than all need, older than all pain and prayer. O great and kind spirit, all over the world the faces of living ones are alike. With tenderness have they come out of the earth from which you give us food. Look on your children here and children everywhere. With children in their arms, they face the wind and walk the red road to the day of quiet. O great and kind spirit, fill us with light. Give us strength to understand and eyes to see deeply. Teach us to walk on soft earth as relatives to all that live. Help us. Without you, we are nothing. Amen.
Senator Zaroff, please lead us in the pledge this morning.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Coghill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 64th legislative day.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 64th legislative day be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal is approved as certified. Introduction of guests, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is a pleasure to introduce two people with the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women, the past president from East Anchorage, E. Mary Jackson. She's currently with the Alaska Village Electrical Co-op. And also the current president in the gallery behind me is Hattie Gardner. Welcome to the Senate. Thank you for your work.
Mr. President.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've got several guests to introduce. One special guest I'd like to introduce, Chris Wada, is with Sony Corporation, Senior Vice President. He's worked with many of us in the International Trade Committee. Chris? The other group of guests that I'd like to introduce are with the ARCO Civic Action Program, and on behalf of Senator Kurtula and I, George Will Jr., I'm just asking to stand, and Joseph Osborne, John Kowalczyk, Dana Thompson, Denise Allen, Dennis Allen, and Ronald Schrank.
Senator Farrenkamp.
May we have a brief of these?
Further introduction of guests. Senator Farrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a group of students down with the Legislative Process Workshop, and I'd like them please stand as we welcome them. Rick Whitbeck, Sue Thompson, John Brisikowski, Teresa Helms, Neil Strandberg, Sean Ryan, Ishmael Shashe, and Ben Thomas. And please forgive me if I've missed some of those pronunciations. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Jaroff.
In the gallery behind me, it's a pleasure to introduce a constituent from Kodiak, a person involved with the fishing industry, Mr. John Severe of the Alaska Pacific Seafoods.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, it's fortunate to have two constituents here in the gallery behind me, the president of KeyBank, Mr. Michael Burns, and the chairman of KeyBank, Mr. Richard Mott.
Senator Fakes. Oops, Senator Rohde.
Also, Mr. President, I have an additional constituent here who's with ATU, a constituent of Senator Pearson, mine, Matty Powell. Welcome, Matty.
Senator Fakes.
Also with the Professional Business and Women's Association, Ruth McConnell from Senator Strzelczyk in my district, who works for the WIND program in Anchorage. Welcome, Ruth.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, please help me welcome from Petersburg three members of Alaska Business and Professional Women's Association. It's Marian Estelle, Nancy Berg, and Barbara Paddock.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, the senator from Ketchikan is faster on his feet than I was. The one member from Ketchikan, from Petersburg, Barbara Paddock, is a former Juneau resident, and I was going to introduce her, but that's fine. I would also like to introduce, if I could at this time, Lucille Santos, who is president-elect of the Alaska BPW.
My pleasure to introduce the president of the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women, Hattie L. Gardner. And also, we have a guest page with us today, who is the daughter of one of Senator Jaroff's staff, Jessica Goforth. Jessica? Senator Farrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can't help saying I think we saved the best for the last. I have some BMPW people from Senator Steve Frank in my district, Dr. Joan Klutz, who's a professor at the University of Alaska and a past state president of BMPW. She's here for the legislative fly-in, Joan. Along with her is Madeline McKinney of the Health and Social Services Group, immediate past president from Fairbanks. We also have Dr. Patricia, it's hard for me to say that, Dr. Patricia Chamberlain-Clark, who's the legislative chair of the BNPW and a member of the Post-Secondary Education Commission, and all good friends of mine. Welcome to the Senate. Mr. President, I also have another constituent. I tried to stay on my feet when I was up first, but Janet Thomas, she's a regent in the DARs of the Alaska chapter, and she's in Fairbanks. And welcome to the Senate, Janet.
Further introductions. Messages from the governor.
Messages dated March 13. I have signed the following resolution and bills and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Joint Resolution Number 21, disapproving the Local Boundary Commission recommendation for annexation of territory to the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Legislative Resolve Number 6. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 69, State Affairs, relating to investments for the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date, Chapter Number 4, SLA 1989. Senate Bill Number 48, extending the termination date of the Older Alaskans Commission and providing for an effective date, Chapter Number 5, SLA 1989. And House Bill Number 62 amended, an act relating to means and methods of pursuit, capture, and transport of game by people with disabilities. Chapter Number 6, SLA 1989. Those are all the messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 13. Mr. President, pursuant to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23 relating to a health care cost containment task force, the Speaker appointed the following members: Representative Navarre, Representative Boyer, and Barbara Huff as the union representative. The Senate appointed Senator Kelly, Senator Duncan, and Greg O'Clery as the union representative on March 10. Message dated March 13. Mr. President, the House has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 30, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Membership on the Recreation Rivers Advisory Board and Providing for an Effective Date.
Communications. Community and Regional Affairs Resources.
Thank you. Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications.
Pursuant to AES 2460, the Senate Secretary has received the following disclosure letters. Senator Jan Fakes, letter dated March 13, 1989, and David Gray, letter dated March 14, 1989. The letters will appear in Senate Supplement Number 5 to today's journal. Those are all the communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 145, Special Appropriation to the Department of Administration for payment as a grant to the Alaska Native Cultural Center Corporation effective date, and recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 145, State Affairs, new title, and the majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Porcheau, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Adams, Kelly, and Euling. Senate Bill 145 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered House Bill 5, amending the composition and membership of the Correctional Industries Commission effective date, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Coghill and Fakes. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note attached. House Bill Number 5 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 75, Judiciary, Construction Contractor Licensing Requirements effective date, and a majority of the committee recommend do pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Coghill and Fakes. House previous zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill 75, Judiciary, has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered House Bill 82, Delivery of Supplies Purchased Under the State Procurement Code effective date, and majority of the committee recommend do pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Coghill and Fakes. Previous House Zero Fiscal Note attached. House Bill 82 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following bills. Senate Bill 65, Motor Vehicle License Plates for Veterans. Senate Bill 166, Conformance Between Actual Payments and Approved Payment Rates to Health Facilities for Medical Care Under Certain State Medical Assistance Programs effective date. And House Bill 61, Governor's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped and Relating to Alaska Employ the Handicapped Week. Majority of the committee recommended calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Sturgiolowski, Chair, and concurred in by Senators Krutula, Kelly, and Eliason. Senate Bill 65, Senate Bill 166, and House Bill 61 are all on today's calendar. Those are all of the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
There are no reports from special committees.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 221 by Senator Duncan, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Children at Risk Grant Fund and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Those are all the bills for introduction.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the Secretary please read the first item of business on today's calendar?
Senate Bill Number 65 by Senators Helfrich, Fake, Sturgiolowski, Kelly, Coghill, Frank, and Ewing, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates for veterans. State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 65, State Affairs, and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senator Porcheau, Chair, concurring Senators Fake, Kelly, and Ewing. Senator Adams signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note and a fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 65, Finance, new title, and reports it back as follows. Senator Euling, co-chair, and Senators Duncan, Frank, and Fisher signed do pass. Senator Binkley, co-chair, and Senator Pierce signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Sturgiolowski, chair, concurring Senators Krutula, Kelly, and Eliason. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Euling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 65, Finance, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is an objection. Senator Porcheau.
Mr. President, I wonder if we could just have a brief explanation of the changes.
Senator Euling.
Thank you, Mr. President. There were a couple changes
requested by the sponsor, and we came up with those with a new bill in Senate Finance. One of those is that there is now a Section P on line 17 of the first page, essentially allowing recipients of the Purple Heart to receive also a veteran's license plate. And if you'll see, that's been added from line 17 to 26. Also, there were some changes in regard to the cost for the Alaska National Guard plate. It was raised from $10 to $30. Now the bill has become a revenue generator. Senator Halford is shaking his head at me. I thought it went from $10 to $30, if I'm not mistaken, but he may be able to correct me on this.
Senator Halford.
Current guard plate is $30, but the version that came out of State Affairs had $10 for the new veterans plate, didn't have the Purple Heart plate. The bill is a substantial revenue generator in its current format. $30 is the fee for all the other special use license plates.
Is the objection to the adoption of the committee substitute maintained? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute to Senate Bill 65 is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 65, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates for veterans and recipients of the Purple Heart.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 65 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 65, Finance, is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 65, Finance, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates for veterans and recipients of the Purple Heart.
Any discussion? Question before Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. I'm trying to make sure I've got the right fiscal note here, but if I understand, is it the zero fiscal note, the 313.89 fiscal note that is the most current fiscal note?
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. The fiscal note, the most current one, is one dated March 10th. And it indicates that there will be revenue in the amount of $306,000 in 1990, $61,000 in 91, 92, and 93, and 94. And it's indicative of the fact that this generates money for the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Further discussion? Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I would like to ask, inquire through the chair to the Finance Committee, that on the second page, in line one, it says other special request plates. I assume that those are like prisoner of war plates, any other kind of plates, but it has to be, or it has to be pretty well identified to the veterans plates. What does that mean?
Senator Halford.
It's any of the special request plates. They can be placed with any number that you want, with your name on them. They're also termed as vanity plates in some cases.
Any further discussion? Question before the Senate. Should committee substitute for Senate Bill 65, Finance, pass the body? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote. So committee substitute for Senate Bill 65, Finance, passes the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays.
Senate Bill number 166 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee for an act entitled an act relating to conformance between actual payments and approved payment rates to health facilities for medical care under certain state medical assistance programs and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 166 has a majority to pass. Report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Jones and Kelly. Senator Adams and Duncan signed no recommendation. Fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the Hess Committee substitute be adopted and majority passed. The report was signed by Senator Ewing, co-chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Pierce, and Fisher. Senator Binkley, co-chair, and Senator Frank signed no recommendation. Fiscal note, previous fiscal notes. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, chair, concurring Senators Cotula, Kelly, and Eliason. There is a Hess CS.
Senator Fisher.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that this bill be held over an additional day.
Senator will stand at ease.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that my previous motion be withdrawn.
Without objection, your motion is withdrawn. Senator Fisher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate version of SB 166
Hess Committee
be discussed in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Hess Committee substitute will be adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 166 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to conformance between actual payments and approved payment rates to health facilities for medical care under certain state medical assistance programs and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 166 Hess, an act relating to conformance between actual payments and approved payment rates to health facilities for medical care under certain state medical assistance programs and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rohde?
This bill solves a regulatory glitch that occurred when Medicare reimbursement payments regulations were done away with, and it was realized shortly thereafter that an error was made, but the department could not go back and pay during the period that those regulations weren't enforced. This bill is necessary, therefore, to allow for the proper payments to be made. If there are any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did want to comment on the legislation. I'm going to support it. I think it's legislation is needed, but I thought for the record, it should be made clear that this is just one of a number of problems that are out there is concerning these facilities. There are other facilities throughout the state, in addition to the two that will benefit from this legislation, that are in dire need of help and assistance. There's one in this community. I know there's a couple of others in Southeast. There's others elsewhere in the state. That we do need to address this overall problem. This does not resolve the problem for these facilities statewide. It may help these two, but there's surely other needs out there that do need to be addressed by this legislature and need to be addressed very timely, because I fear that there are some facilities out there in danger of closing. We are correcting retroactively correcting harm that a regulation had done in this case. I have examples, in fact, a couple examples of where regulations were promulgated that did impact nursing homes negatively. Those regulations have been changed. The commissioner has been very cooperative in that effort. However, they were not changed retroactively. So people were the facilities were losing that cash flow for a period of time. They changed the regulation to help them, but it wasn't retroactive. And this is a retroactive change. As I said, I support it, but it's just indicative of the number of problems that we do have out there. One of the problems, I believe, Mr. President, is that we do have some regulations that have been put together by the Medicaid Rate Commission. Of course, that power has now been transferred to the commissioner. But some regulations that require more stringent, I don't know how to word this, but they're more stringent than the federal requirements are. That we are out of step with the federal requirements in some cases in these nursing homes and other facilities. And I think an overall review of those regulations has to be made to be sure that we're not requiring more stringent have more stringent requirements on a state level than we do on a federal level, which then increases the cost for our homes, for our nursing homes and our other facilities. And I'm going to be asking the commissioner to undertake that review. I've identified a couple of those regulations. I think they should be changed. And if those changes could come about and bring us in compliance with federal requirements, it could go a long ways to solving some of the problems that these facilities have. So as I said, and I questioned the commissioner extensively in the Finance Committee about this, I do support this legislation. However, I want to be sure that members understood that there is a much larger problem out there. We should be looking at it overall and should be trying to solve the problem for all the homes, the nursing homes, and other facilities that fall under this program.
Further discussion. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. Chairman, I would thank you for the floor. I would like to second the comments of the Senator from Juneau. Our nursing home happens to be one of those institutions that is at present time looking at the possibilities of closing in the very immediate future. Regulations changes will help. They'll help not only in this area but in other areas where we're going far beyond the requirements of the federal government. I'm supportive of the legislation, but hope that others will support us in trying to help with the nursing homes that are in the same danger.
Senator Cotulla.
This goes to the problem, Mr. President, of affording and having the necessary income for basics. And we must maintain that income for basics. Quite frankly, I understand there's a nursing home in my district that takes care of the elderly males. They get about maybe $10 a day towards that from all sources. And remember what it costs us in some of these other facilities. It's amazing how little they get. So I think there is a review necessary, and we're going to have to put more money in these bottom-line facilities in order to continue. This particular one takes care of a large number of elderly males that have severe problems. Thank you.
Senator Hofford.
I just had a question. The debate apparently indicated that this is dealing with two facilities, but I noticed the fiscal note says the fiscal impact is calculated based on impact to one identified facility. I wonder what that conflict is. Are we talking about two facilities? Are we talking about one facility?
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my understanding in the testimony in the Senate Finance Committee that the two facilities that we were speaking of were the one in Anchorage, which is understandably, I guess, Humana Hospital, and the other one in Sitka. And I believe the commissioner took into account both of those facilities in the calculations of this. However, the majority of it may be Humana.
Senator Fakes.
There are two fiscal notes. One is dated 3/10/89, the other is dated 3/7/89. There's a considerable difference between the cost of one is $250,000, the other one's $583,000. And I'm just wondering, is the 3/10/89 the most current? It looks like it's in the same component. And if that's the case, then the fiscal notes were in the packet in reverse.
And then the fiscal note for 310-89 would be the more accurate fiscal note showing the two facilities.
We're about to find out. Senator, stand at ease. Back to order. We have an answer. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just got off the phone with Myra Munson, and basically, the reason that we had two different fiscal notes was that the first fiscal note was on the original bill, and there were some flaws in the original bill. That was the 583, I think, that the senator from Eagle River was asking about, the senator from South Anchorage. However, the fiscal note that you have before you, which is the $250,000 fiscal note, which is dated essentially 3689, is the one that was adopted in the Senate Finance Committee. And furthermore, there was a question on the fiscal impact is calculated based on impact to one identified facility. Well, as I mentioned, there were two facilities that are being impacted. However, the commissioner mentioned in the case of the Sitka facility that the amount that would be reimbursed there for the facility there is so small that it will be absorbed in their budget. However, in the other facility, most of it would be evidently considered in the fiscal note.
Senator Curtula.
Don't we create a liability for the full amount, no matter what the fiscal note's adopted for this year, for future years? In other words, if in fact the cost of this piece of legislation is $500,000, we fund $250,000 of it upstream, we're still going to owe the other $250,000. It seems to me it may not impact this particular year's budget, but if in fact the legislation creates that obligation, we're going to end up paying it or going to court and paying it, I would guess. I just want to bring it to attention, unless I'm in there.
Senator Rohde.
The answer is no. What we're doing is going back to reimburse those hospitals that should have received money under regulations for that period of time for only those 4 months. We're not dealing with the other period of time that the hospitals didn't receive money. This is only a partial solution to their problem.
Senator Halford.
Well, I'm afraid I'm getting more confused now. The fiscal note that's $250,000 was dated 3689 before the Finance Committee took up the bill. The fiscal note for $583,000, both these fiscal notes are signed by the commissioner, done by the same person, but that's dated 310. I think that was the date that the Finance Committee took up the bill.
Senator Halford, there are several questions been raised in this bill. Perhaps you can move to hold it over one legislative day and we can get that straightened out.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 be held for one legislative day.
Without objection, Senate Bill 166 is held for tomorrow's calendar. Madam Secretary.
House Bill number 61, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Governor's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped and relating to Alaska Employ the Handicapped Week. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chair, concurring Senators Coghill and Fakes, previous zero House fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Curtula, Kelly, and Eliason.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 61 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 61 is in second and third reading.
House Bill number 61, an act relating to the Governor's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped and relating to the Alaska Employ the Handicapped Week.
Senator Lyson.
Mr. President, House Bill 61 was introduced on request of the Governor, and this legislation changes the name of the Governor's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped to the Governor's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities. This change would make the state's Governor's Committee's name consistent with the name of the National Committee, which is the President's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities. Additionally, the bill makes the same name change and changes the dates for the Governor's Week for recognition of efforts to employ people with disabilities. The special recognition would be during the first full week in October rather than the first full week in May. This change of date will allow the state to recognition to concur with the present federal recognition for the same activities in October. House Bill 61 has the support of the Governor's Committee on the Employment of the Handicapped. I recommend your support.
Any further discussion? Question before the Senate is, should House Bill 61 pass the body? Members may proceed to vote. All senators voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote. So House Bill 61 has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and no nays. Madam Secretary, citations.
citations honoring James W. Rooney, Engineer of the Year, 1988, by Representatives Lehman, Collins, Zawacki, Kronberg, Navarre, Senators Strzelczewski, Pierce, Halford, Fakes, and Szymanski, honoring Sid Wright, retirement, by Representatives C. Davis and Taylor, Senators Jones, Halford, and Eliason, honoring the Delta High School Varsity Rifle Team, by Representatives Schultz and Navarre, Senators Coghill, Strzelczewski, Fakes, Szymanski, and Fisher, honoring Cyrus Peck, by Representatives Gall, Brown, Davidson, Grusendorf, Lehman, Menard, Navarre, Taylor, Ulmer, and Wallace, Senators Duncan, Elias, and Szymanski, and Zaroff. In memoriam, Ellen Strickland Finney, by Representative C. Davis and Taylor, Senator Jones.
Chair Curtula.
I move and ask unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of the Delta High School Varsity Rifle Team and Cyrus Peck. Cyrus is
without objection, so shown. Senator Fakes.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor on the Sid Wright citation and the Cyrus Eaton Peck citation.
Without objection, so shown. Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to be a sponsor on the honoring Cyrus Peck citation.
Without objection, Senator Fisher.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor of the citation for James Rooney.
Without objection. Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor of the Rooney, the Delta High, and the Cyrus Peck citation.
Without objection, Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as co-sponsor on the Sid Wright citation.
Without objection. Senator Ewling.
And I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on the James Rooney citation, the Sid Wright citation, and the Delta High School Varsity Rifle Team citation.
Without objection. Senator Halpern.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on the Cyrus Eaton Peck citation and the Delta High citation.
Without objection. Senator Halpern.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted by the Senate.
Without objection, the citation calendar is adopted. Unfinished business. Senator Jones?
She left.
Senator Rohde?
Let me take that up then. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to the introduction of guests.
Without objection, revert to the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, the gallery behind me is a longtime friend, a distinguished member of the Anchorage Bar, and the chairman of the Code Revision Commission, and my former law partner, Mr. John Adams.
Senator Halpern, could you move us back to messages from the governor, please?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate revert to messages from the governor.
Without objection.
Message dated March 13th. Dear Mr. President, I am pleased to announce our appointees to the Health Care Cost Containment Task Force. They are Bruce Cummings, Director, Division of Labor Relations, Department Administration. Don Hitchcock, Director, Division of Risk Management, Department Administration. Karen Perdue, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Health and Social Services. Michael Castandio, Staff Representative, Alaska State Employees Association. I look forward to receiving the task force recommendation within 30 days. This 30-day time period is critical in order for possible cost reductions to occur. Sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor.
Back under unfinished business, I will give an additional referral to House Bill 29, an act establishing the Alaska Racing Commission and authorizing pari-mutuel wagering at sanctioned events to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Fakes.
Today, 1:30 in the Butchervich Room, taking up Senate Bill 43, is relating to the conduct and administration of elections by the Director of Elections. Senate Bill 128, an act extending the termination date of the Code Revision Commission. House Bill 58, relating to the enforcement and penalty and provisions of certain laws on fire protection, fireworks, and warning placards for hazardous substances. I won't read the entire title, it's very long. House Bill 114, an act relating to the examination of regulations and opinions and decisions issued by courts and agencies and the laws of the state.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, Transportation Committee meets this afternoon at 1:30, Belts Room, to take up House Bill 105, Mandatory Seat Belts, and Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 22 relating to Project 92.
Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to announce tomorrow in the Senate Finance Committee meeting that at 9 o'clock we will have a number of people that are respected from the Alaska economy or from Alaska economists, and they're going to be talking on taxation and the future of the Alaska economy. Those people include Dr. Dwight Lee of the University of Georgia, Dr. Richard Veeder of Ohio University, and Dr. Steve Jackstead of the University of Alaska Anchorage. And they will be talking about impact of additional taxation and what it does to the state economy and I'd appreciate everybody being up there tomorrow.
Senator Pierce?
Thank you, Mr. President. Two announcements. First of all, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will be meeting this afternoon at 3:30 in the Butrovich Room. In the absence of both the chairman and the vice chairman, the chairman has asked me to chair the meeting, I think probably hoping that I will return the favor on the Oil and Gas Committee. The four bills that are up are Senate Joint Resolution 34, Senate Bill 74, Senate Bill 160, Senate Bill 191. There are only three of us present, so to have a quorum, I need the other two members to please show up on time at 3:30.
Other announcements? Senator Pierce?
Second, I think this comes under announcements. You, Senator Kelly, sent out an RDC alert regarding ANWR, and tomorrow and Thursday, the Senate, U.S. Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources will be holding hearings and markup on Senate Bill 406, which is the ANWR bill and the U.S. Senate. Although it's too late for any of us to send written testimony to be included in the record, we certainly can send telegrams to the members of the committee. I've spoken with Maggie Moran in the governor's office in Washington, D.C. I have a list of the members that John Katz feels are crucial, and we also have a list of all the members. We'll be putting that in each of your boxes. We also have a telephone number, the Oil and Gas Committee number, that you can charge your telegrams to, so this is free to your offices. And I would really hope that all the senators will send telegrams of support back to D.C. to the committee. Thank you.
Senator Zaro.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the members of the body that have been watching the activities, the subcommittees of the Finance Committee, I am chairing the Fish and Game Subcommittee, and today we had scheduled four hearings. Comfish. We are postponing the Comfish hearings. We will be in place moving up two divisions that were scheduled for next week. So in addition to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, we'll have the Sport Fish and Fred Division subcommittee hearings today at, I believe it's 3:30 in the Senate Finance Chambers.
Under announcement, there will be an organizational meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the Butrovich Room of the Health Cost Care Containment Task Force. Further announcements? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. The city, the Legislative Council will be meeting at noon in Governor's Conference Room.
Further announcements? Senator Helfer, could you move us back to unfinished business, please?
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate revert to unfinished business.
Under unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 145, payment as a matching grant to the Native Cultural Center. Without objection. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, on the same subject, I would also move and ask unanimous consent that I be showed as co-sponsor on the same legislation.
Without objection, so shown. Let's stand at ease, please. We're under special orders. Senator Curtula.
I move and ask unanimous consent to briefly comment on a food problem.
You have the floor, Senator.
I got a call, Mr. President, this morning early from an acquaintance in Arizona, and he said on the national television and radio, and I understand one member of the Secretary of Defense office has heard something about it, but that the grapes coming into this country from Chile have been contaminated with cyanide or arsenic purposefully, and there is a big recall of this product and other food products that are coming in. They've been sabotaged. But more importantly, he stated, as a matter of fact, we have been exporting for almost a generation now other chemical products to these third world countries, and those that we prohibit the use of in the United States in the production of food, and those products that are then put on the fruits and vegetables south of the border are coming back to the United States. That has not been much of a mystery. Most of us have heard this from time to time. But what he said was that he was in a packing sheds, Church, Annalee, and Tamura, huge packing sheds and warehouses in Yuma, Arizona. And he says these companies have tremendous investments in production south of the border, and that, in fact, those products are coming into Yuma in the packing sheds and leave there, signifying that they came from Yuma, which is very disturbing because for many years I've paid some attention from time to time of products that are on the in the retail area, but they still have the boxes, and they say Yuma, Arizona on them. Anyway, there's just another problem out there in what's happening to our food with pesticides and herbicides. But again, right at the moment, the products coming in from Chile, I'd be very wary of from what I've just been phoned and told and what occurred on national television or radio that's already been mentioned. Thank you.
Further special orders? Senator Bearcamp.
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests.
Thank you. I noticed in the gallery behind me the chair or the president of our borough assembly, Chris Burch, and I'd like to welcome him to the Senate.
Thank you.
Under special order, Senator Spakes.
Thank you. I ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor under special orders to talk about the budget hearing.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. I just was reading this morning the latest edition of the Alaska Journal of Commerce and the week of March 13th, and they have a great article in here that really is an editorial, but it's an article on the explosion of the budget here in the state of Alaska, the budget graphs that were sent out, and the tasks that we've been asking Alaskans all over the state of Alaska to do in the budget hearings that we in the legislature aren't willing to do ourselves. But, and they're not very complimentary at all to all of us. It says, and I quote, "We did not elect our leadership so that we could do their jobs for them. If our elected state officials spent as much time on their jobs as they do on getting themselves in leadership positions or getting elected, the people of Alaska would not have this problem." And I think they make some tremendous points in this article, but the final coup de grace is their joke that they talk about at the very end of the article is the definition of a politician in Alaska. That's a politician is someone who can borrow $20, pay back $10, and declare you're even because you both lost $10. I hope we don't do that to the people of Alaska.
Further special orders? Senator Halpern.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Without objection, Senate stands adjourned.